The following podcast contains adult themes and adult language. Listener discretion advised.
And although we joke, if you or someone you know is affected by or a victim of domestic violence, dial 1-800-799-7233 or visit the National Domestic Violence Hotline's website, thehotline.org.
It's always the husband, it's always the husband, it's always the husband, I don't care you be.
Hi, everybody. This is Sarah.
Hey, it's Megan. I survived COVID.
She did. Megan is back. Megan kicked COVID's ass. But COVID kicked your ass pretty hard
it
first.
It still is lingering.
Tell us what it's like to be a COVID survivor.
So I actually was very symptomatic. I had some really horrible symptoms. And so I just felt my hips hurt. They were aching. I was at my, of course, I was out at my sister's house.
Had you run a marathon?
I had not.
Had you
I had not done any strenuous exercise, as why would I? When have I ever?
You do exercise, but it feels like you've done some sort of weird splits.
Yes.
Pain, I've heard. Like, it's a terrible ache.
As if I had let my cat hit the floor at somebody's like bachelorette party. Like my sister.
My sister repeatedly
whenever we go out, like out, like if we're out for somebody's 40th birthday or whatever, my sister Cassie repeatedly pulls out the splits and will do the splits on every dance floor
and on every human being
being too. She'll lift her leg and do a leg hold
right into a person.
She loves
it's a sight.
That's what it felt like. I did, although I've never done one. No, and my legs don't do that either. So my hips hurt, and then my shoulders hurt, and then I woke up the next morning and I tried to open my eyes and move my eyes, and it was the most painful experience. And so I went and got tested, and I just knew.
How did you even make it to get tested and wait in line and stand there? Well, that would just be so uncomfortable.
It was a drive-through COVID testing, and so my husband drove me, and then I just got tested, and they didn't get tested right away. They just tested me, and then the next morning when I woke up feeling so shitty, then I looked at my test results and I saw that I had had it. It said detected. Yeah. And so then I was like, Phil, I have COVID. And so then he and my son went and got tested that day. And they didn't have it. Nobody in my family had it.
No.
Except me.
Got tested the next
day. Yeah, you got tested because we had recorded within that week. And
the other people at our other jobs weren't.
No one else. Yeah. At our other jobs, no one who I had worked with had been tested positive. So I don't know how I got it. I still have no idea.
It's scary.
Yeah.
Because there's no method to the madness of tracing who gave it to you, who has it, where is it.
Yeah. So it really felt horrible. I was very tired. I slept a good amount of the time. I was stuck in my bedroom. I did not leave my bedroom. I used the attached bathroom to my bedroom, and no one else could come in. And I lost my sense of smell and taste, which was horrifying because I would try to eat, and it was like things were in my mouth, and I could feel were in my mouth, but they didn't taste like anything. And it was gross. It was like
bad gum.
It was just the most bizarre thing. So I didn't really feel like eating, and I just really felt achy and horrible. And my head, it felt like I had a horrible sinus infection. I didn't get the cough, which was good, or the breathing issues.
Yeah.
And every time the nurses would call and check in with me, they would ask me, and I didn't have those symptoms.
Still, you were miserable.
But I was miserable. And I still don't feel good. I still feel like, I mean, if it was a typical whatever, I woke up and felt like this, I mean, I would maybe go to work, but I would tell people at work, like, I feel shitty. You know what I mean? Like, I still don't feel 100%. My joints really ache if I am up and around too much. And like on Friday, I went, ran a couple errands and got my hair colored. And then I came home and slept for 4 hours still. Like, I just am totally wiped.
Yeah.
And I've heard that COVID fatigue like can last months.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So I am feeling a little, obviously I feel better. I'm not like flat on my back like I was for 10 days. I really didn't do anything.
That's scary.
Except I watched all of Heart of Dixie.
You liked that show.
I loved it.
That's a good one for people to try.
Yes. So if you get COVID, watch Heart of Dixie. And then I actually cried when it was over because I felt like they were my friends when I was sick.
A series that isn't renewed. It's old.
Yeah. Right. It's old. Yeah. And there were 4 seasons of it and then it was over and I was like, shit, I miss you guys. I kept calling you or FaceTiming you. Like I would get really lonely because I couldn't see anybody or even my family.
What's that other show you watched at the beginning of the summer, too, that was like a Hallmark Channel series that you liked?
Virgin River.
Yeah, that, you can put those together.
That was only one. Yes, for COVID. Yes. And then I watched Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, which was great. And I bawled my head off all alone in the middle of the night. And then I watched Never Have I Ever, which is Mindy Kaling's show. And it is hysterical. Hysterical. I was laughing out loud. And by that time, I was starting to kind of come around and I was released from my quarantine, but I still was really not feeling great. So I watched that. So that's what I did.
Well, you can't move.
No. And I would try to read and it would just make me fall asleep. So it was like, because I thought I was going to get a lot of reading done. I had just like stacks of books.
Eyes, but my eyes hurt, too.
And it was just, and they still are really puffy. I wake up with puffy eyes and I don't know. It's not good. It's
terrible.
It's not just a flu, like a normal flu, how you would, you know, feel shitty for 5 days or whatever.
Yeah, and you then, shit your guts out, but then it ends.
Right. It ends. It was a totally different feeling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's scary. And I didn't have the coughing part. Yeah.
And it's scary for your family and your friends because you don't know if it's going to turn.
Well, my
you
kids, don't know if it, we're like, is my mom going to die? They kept asking Phil that. And he's like, no. And they told me right away when I, the Department of Health called me and the doctors from Mayo called me, you know, they asked me about pre-existing conditions and symptoms that I was having. And they told me, like, you are going to be fine. You're at like a zero out of they like rate cases based on what your conditions are and whatever. Like I didn't have any medical issues or anything. And I wasn't having the breathing issues. And so they were like, you're going to have a mild case. You're like at a zero for risk factors.
Still, that was a mild case.
And that was a mild case for 10 days. I was still
sick as hell.
Yeah. And still I don't feel great. Yeah. Yeah, I still feel kind of achy. It's like I told my friend Kelly, it's like I can feel that it's still in my body, you know, like
it is.
Yeah, it's a virus, but it's like I feel like it's still there. Even though they said I'm not shedding the virus anymore. I don't know how they know that, but apparently I'm not. But you guys, thanks for your well wishes. We had some podcast people. What's going on with your...
Fucking Randy's chewing on it again. I don't know. Anyway, I'm sorry. I wasn't.
No, yeah, we had some podcast listener. We had listeners wishing me well. I know. That made me so happy. And people we didn't even know.
And to get COVID on your birthday is a kick in the balls.
Holy shit. Yes. Yeah. I still haven't celebrated properly.
No, we'll have to go out and get you.
This is my first, you guys, this is my first drink. I was sober for I've been sober for 3 weeks.
Unheard of.
You know, that is
unheard of since you were five.
Since I was five. I have been drunk.
She been hammered.
So I'm happy to be back. Thanks for listening to my boring COVID story. And thanks for all your well wishes.
A lot of people still maybe don't know some. Now you've heard someone you listen to that has had it.
I'm doubting it's going to, like, people keep going, it'll go away at the election. I don't think it's actually real. It is. I don't know how I got it.
And go to Branson.
No.
And stay there.
Why would anyone want to go there?
Lots of people would want to go
to Branson. It's dry. Branson is a dry city. No one should ever go there.
Oh, shit.
I actually like country music and I would never go there.
No. Just to wear a sparkle shirt maybe and fit in. But then you can go to Vegas.
Go to Nashville where you can drink.
That's true.
Good God. Why would anyone go to Branson? No.
Anyway, we have a doozy. We have a very complicated case. So I hope to God I can put it together for you coherently.
I'll try to help you.
This one was really complicated. I feel that the detectives did a really good job, though, putting this thing together. It was a lot of weird-ass work and a weird-ass husband.
Totally.
And a weird-ass wife. Bless her heart.
The whole thing was a hot mess.
Yeah. Before we start, we have a new Patreon.
Yes, Catherine.
She sent the best message ever that I showed Megan too. She is a Burt Reynolds after my own heart.
She's one of your Burt Reynolds people. Yeah.
So if you want some more content that we're trying to get up soon as well.
Now that I'm
we have some episodes just for a Patreon. So you can click on our Patreon in our show notes. You can go to our Instagram. We have a link now to all of our links. And you can be one of our Patreon men from a Jason Momoa, obviously the top, to a John Travolta, which is $3 that would help out. And everything in between a Burt Reynolds and a John Hamm and a Rob Lowe.
Ah, John Hamm.
Yeah.
I was just perusing Instagram at our other job the other day when I was really bored. Right. And he had posted he was out to lunch with Tommy Lee. And
John
Tommy
Hamm?
Lee's. Oh, no, oh. John Travolta.
Oh.
John Travolta.
Yeah.
Is friends with Tommy Lee.
No.
Yeah. And his wife. It was Tommy Lee's wife's birthday. And so John Travolta was out eating and they took a picture of this birthday party. And, you know, his poor wife has passed away. And he was with his daughter. And I looked at the picture and I swear to God, I thought it was my husband. Honest to God, I took a screenshot of
Phil, why are you with Tommy Lee going out to eat?
At Nobu.
What the fuck? Why'd you go to Nobu, Phil?
So then I brought it home and I was like, honey, I know I have COVID
Did you tell him that? My brain might be off.
But I said, look at this picture. Oh, no. Do you think it looks like you? And he died. It looks like him.
Oh, my
now
God.
Now that he shaves, John Travolta shaves his head.
He's full bald, thank God. And he's not wearing his wig.
Oh, and no, yes, his wig. He doesn't have his He-Man wig on.
No.
I'm going to find the picture and show it to you, and we'll post it.
Oh, my God.
On our fan page with a side-by-side of my husband.
Well, you can be a John Travolta, right? But Catherine, thank you so much. You are amazing.
Yeah, Catherine, thank you.
And so check it out. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I saw on Twitter today that if Marty McFly lived in our today times today and went back in time, it would be back to 1990. That's the same back.
Like how far he went back.
It would be 1990.
Well, that was the greatest year of all time.
Well,
that was right when R&B started getting good.
What would he play? What would Marty McFly play in the band?
Boys to Men.
Oh my! It looks like it a does fatter look like Phil.
Yeah, he's fatter than Phil. But it looks like
But I
him.
Would still look and say, that is not my husband.
I'm sorry. I just
John
did like
Travolta.
A quick take and was like, that looks like my husband.
I don't look at Danny DeVito and say, my God, that's Jamie. But maybe I do. We all heard Jamie last week if you listened.
I'm sorry. Here is John Travolta and Mariah Carey. And I would be like, that's
her bosoms
husband.
Are quite huge.
Yeah. But yeah. My husband hates people, so he would never be in pictures with other people.
That's true.
But he is starting to look like him. Anyway, yes, Jamie, thanks for filling in for me. You were hilarious. I got kind of sad and jealous that I thought people would like you more than me. And
he's a man.
He was so
of course
funny.
Not.
But when I put on my headphones today, I was like, holy shit, Jamie's head is so big.
He's 6'7", so he's massive. It's very tall and big.
I had to do some fitting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we watched another Forensic Files. Oh, Randy is up on the table again.
Get down.
Randy. And this one, again, like I said, it was a really complicated case. Mm-hmm. It was a weird ass story. It's called The Big Chill.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to journey.
Which is a great movie.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah. I loved it.
We are going to travel back almost as far as Marty McFly would have to, but we're going to 1995.
I was in college. Year. Yep, me too.
Just second year college. And in 1995, let's take a look at what the hell was going on. It could be year poop,
one of them,
scoop, and it would still be better than this year.
One
could
of them one. Really intersects with our story, too. One of the horrible things that happened in 1995.
It does.
Actually I know. Pertains Had, to our story.
It has significance to what happened. Number one, of course, Brad Pitt became the sexiest man alive. That's when he really was...
Yeah.
Hot shit.
Yep.
Like Brad Pitt with that long hair from what the hell was that movie?
Legends of the Fall. Oh.
Nothing better than that. No man can compete with that.
Damn.
Not even Jason.
No.
Momoa. Song of the Year was Gangsta's Paradise. That was 1995 in a nutshell, right there. Coolio.
Which I loved.
OJ Trial. What's happening? Talk
God.
About shit show.
In college, I would come home and that would be on. That was
yeah,
on.
Everybody
that was
would be
all
watching it. That's
that
all anybody
see.
Paid attention to. The goddamn Macarena went viral. Mm-hmm. That was the worst thing that happened to people since 2020 came along.
Mm-hmm.
Video of the year, TLC Waterfalls.
Yep. Yeah.
That was a good one.
TLC was huge in 94 and 95.
Selena was murdered just at 23.
So sad.
That was big. I was in San Diego, so that was kind of big.
Oh, yeah,
she
I
was
bet.
Huge on. Jerry Garcia died at 53. That's way too young. But again, he was maybe
he
not
did
this
some
healthy.
Hard living.
Yeah. And Christopher Reeve had this accident.
God, there were so many. And then, of course, the
what,
big.
Huge disaster. It was an Oklahoma City bombing that I think it was like 153 people died in that daycare. I mean, it's so awful. People are the worst. God damn it. So I looked up movies, and there are some pretty good movies. But the movie, it was a horror movie, and I wrote it down first, called Copycat, because Dermot Mulroney was in it. And Sigourney Weaver. And Harry Connick.
Harry Connick,
yes! He was the bad guy.
Yes, he was the
murderer.
And
he said something like, I sniff your squirrel
yes!
covers with your underwear.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh my God, a Dermot Mulroney.
Oh, Dermot. You know I love it.
But Brad Pitt was big, so he was in Seven, which I saw with my friend Marnie, who listens. Hi, Marnie.
Hi, Marnie.
And she had, I think because she was a newspaper like student newspaper or whatever. So we got free tickets to a movie and no one knew anything about it. Like it was just a preview before it was even out in the theaters. You could just go. So we had no knowledge going in and there was nobody, no internet. So you didn't know jack shit, you know, whatever you would read in a paper about a movie, you couldn't hear about it. And my God, talk about traumatizing to go, go see Seven and you're not prepared for it. We were like, what? All we knew was Brad Pitt was in it. And you're like,
and you knew
Legend of the Fall.
What was
Wait.
In the box before anyone else did.
Well, it was where you didn't. I don't think she could even give away the ending or something. She had to kind of do a review of it. We're like, what did we just see? Like, it just blew you away.
That movie was
holy
good.
Shit.
Yeah.
But then there are other like Usual Suspects, which is a great movie if you haven't seen. Like totally.
Is that a mob movie?
Yeah, it's kind of. I mean, really has like the first kind of twist ending type thing.
Uh-huh.
outbreak, which is fitting for now. But they came up with their vaccine after like 3 weeks, which I don't think is realistic, and saved the day.
And they gave it to everyone. Yeah.
But then we had some big bombs like Waterworld with Kevin Costner. And
I went to see that in a drive-in movie.
My God, it's 19 hours long.
Yeah.
Braveheart, though, was pretty good. It won the Oscar, I believe. Mel Gibson gets his guts ripped out at the end.
Freedom! What the
hell? Showgirls. What's her name? Jessie Spano showed her tits Elizabeth the whole time. The Berkeley. Worst.
Yeah. Ugh. Poor girl.
Val Kilmer was Batman. And I love Val Kilmer, but that,
I liked him as Batman.
I don't know.
I liked Michael Keaton the best. Because
he is weird and weirdly, quirky. Yes. And Val Kilmer's just Leaving Las Vegas, another super depressing.
I love, it was good. It was good, but it was so sad. Depressing. Yeah.
Did you ever see It Takes Two with Mary-Kate and Ashley? Where they met at summer camp? And like one had a dad and one had a mom, and it was like it was, what's his name from Three Men and a Baby? Steve
Guttenberg
and Kirstie Alley. Oh my God. I saw that and I'm like, oh my God, I think I did see that.
I don't know if I did.
Pocahontas and Toy Story were the Disney movies of the year.
I went to Pocahontas. I mean, I remember going to those like in college. Yeah, I remember leaving my dorm.
So much. Yeah. I don't know. But then like still we had comedies like Tommy Boy and Billy Madison, and then other movies like Bridges of Madison County and Apollo 13. Oh, it was like a great year for movies. Jumanji. Casino.
Like Casino is good.
And then did you ever see Now and Then, where the little girls, that was a sweet movie. They were friends as girls, and then they grew up and came back together.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was kind of cute.
Those are great movies.
Something to Talk About with Julia Roberts and Dennis
Quaid. Yeah. I like Dennis Quaid for some reason. Something about
him. He's charming.
Is he? I don't know why.
He just has a cute. Mm-hmm. Well, because I love Inner Space with Martin Short, and he was cute in that.
I love him in Parent Trap.
Parent Trap is so cute,
too. In the
too.
New Parent Trap, I loved
him. Oh, that's so good. Poor Lindsay. Oh,
she was so good in that movie. She was the cute
as a button.
What an actress she was.
Fuck you, drugs. Match.com started.
Oh, my God.
Bringing together so many people.
So many people.
Yeah.
I never did Match.com. Did you?
No. No, I can't do it because we married poorly.
We didn't need help.
I would be a serial killer. I mean, I already did terrible on my own. Jeez. No. Oh, the Brady Bunch movie came out, too. That was pretty good. TV, just what stood out was that Hercules and Xena were big.
I loved them.
Hercules They're and Kevin Sorbo.
At midnight. I know. And I would watch them. Yes.
Yeah. And their sidekicks. Who Shot Mr. Burns was big on The Simpsons. The Nanny. I love The Nanny. Mm-hmm. I did like that show. Drew Barrymore, Flash, David Letterman. Remember that?
When she jumped up on the chair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was 1995. So can I talk to you
about my favorite part of 1995? Yes. I can picture my dorm room like it was yesterday with Kim and Cammy and Crystal and Tiffany. And we were all together like all the time, but we would listen to, I had like the CD player that had six, you know, it was like a turntable and it would whirl around.
Rich.
Like, yes. So Boys to Men.
Of course. Yes. I wrote that down. Yeah.
1995 was the year for Boys to Men. And I don't know if you know this, listeners, but they're my favorite.
You are a fan.
I'm a huge fan, and I've been to a billion concerts, and I still love them. Like, I loved them.
But you haven't ever been to Vegas to see their show.
No, when you guys went, you went without me to Vegas. You and Lolo went, and I told you to go, and you were like, oh, no thanks. What did you go to?
Michael Jackson show. Saw Michael Jackson show. That was fun. It was like 3 seconds. You're like, sit down. What? It's over. And you're going, oh.
But I did see Boys to Men a few years ago with
at the zoo, right?
Well, I went at the zoo. That was like when I was pregnant with Eloise. Oh, that's right. But I saw them with the Minnesota Orchestra.
Oh.
That was like 2 years ago.
That would be fancy.
And it was awesome. Yeah. And I touched Wanye's hand.
No.
I rushed the stage at the orchestra.
For being a crazy?
No, everyone did it. They were like, we love it when you come. Like, that's what people
do.
You
ran?
And they hand out roses. And I ran up and I was
like,
Wanye.
Did you push down some unfortunate woman out of your
way? They don't love them like I love them.
No, they don't.
They don't even know. No. They don't know Wanye like I do.
No, they don't.
And I touched him, and my husband was with me, and he was like, oh, my God, I'm
He's
so
dying
embarrassed.
Of embarrassed, yeah. I'm sure. And then people were going up to him saying, Mr. Travolta, can I have your autograph? And he's like,
this isn't about me. This is about
Wanye.
Oh, this is about Wanye and Michael tonight. Yeah, I love them, but that On Bended Knee was the fifth most popular song of 1995.
Yes.
Water Runs Dry. Let's go away to the water runs dry. Remember that? Oh my God, that whole CD was just the best. Everything. And TLC was everything too.
Didn't Salt and Peppa have their What a Man and all that one,
95? No, I feel like that was before.
I feel like maybe that was a year before.
Notorious B.I.G. was, I love it when you call me Big Papa. Throw your hands in the air.
Was that in one of your six?
That was number 47. But I'll Make Love to You, Boys to Men.
Yeah.
That's when I touched Wanye, when they started singing that, and I ran.
Did you cry?
I did.
Jeez.
Jodeci was huge. This is my
era.
Music.
Yeah.
Janet Jackson. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that CD. It was just everything. Naughty by Nature was, I loved everything.
This was your time.
These are my time. This is my time.
And that 95 is how many years ago? 25 years
Jesus.
Ago. We have a foot in the grave. We're going to be dead so soon. Very soon.
Oh my God, remember the song? You gotta be bad, you gotta be bold. That song was the number 20.
It was 95 was a great year.
It was sad for everything.
Sad,
but
terribly sad in many ways.
The greatest for music.
Yeah.
For me. If you love 90s R&B, this is your fucking year.
Yeah. Well, right. So imagine this going on.
This is all going on.
Travel,
and poor Carol doesn't care
Carol
a bit about Boyz II Men.
I don't think she did. This is the intro to this episode to tell you how balls, batshit crazy it is.
This is my favorite.
This is what the narrator says. Mm-hmm. This is the only case of its kind, cracked by a middle-aged woman in a cheerleader's outfit. So picture a middle-aged woman putting on a cheerleader's outfit that literally does solve the case. So let's find
and
out
I
how the
hell that
happens.
And I stopped it right away and texted you.
Yeah.
Middle-aged woman in a cheerleader's outfit. And then.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because men are foul.
Just disgusting fuckers.
So Carol Heller. Good old Carol. Carol Heller. I keep wanting to say Helen Keller. Carol Heller, not Helen Keller, moved to the small town of Perry, Oklahoma after she got divorced. We've all been there.
Sorry,
we've
Carol.
Been divorced. You want to start over. So she goes to kind of her hometown.
She picked a small town.
Perry. Well, it was where her family was. Her sisters were. Her
and
parents
she had
were.
Some problems, yeah.
It's a very tiny town, like 5,000 people, but really safe. They said no crime until fucking Helen Keller came. Carol Heller. But Carol has a really rough go of it.
Mm-hmm.
Carol had been fighting a lifelong battle with bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm. And I knew someone with bipolar disorder. And it is no fucking joke. It is an awful thing to live with and deal with.
Debilitating.
Horrible.
Yeah.
And especially it's hard, too, because a lot of people still don't recognize mental illness or that depression is a thing or that anxiety is a thing or that your brain can be fucked and you look totally normal and healthy.
And
you know?
With the manic parts of it, too.
That's the
a lot
worst.
Of time.
Kanye.
Right.
That's the fucking worst because you become a complete psychotic.
Right. Look at it's James.
Oh, my husband is home now.
Oh. I took his spot.
Yeah. He's going to come beat the
shit out of
you.
He's going to beat the shit out of me. He's going to poison me.
So Carol, like Helen Keller. He's gonna Helen Keller.
But Carol, yeah,
Carol Heller, Helen Keller. Carol had her bipolar, and it wasn't really under control, as we'll find out. But we'll kind of learn more. So she's very active in her church. She started making some friends and really making herself at home in this new town after her divorce.
But when they showed the church video, and they were waving their arms in the air, and I just thought,
don't get it, you know, but whatever.
That's not the church for you.
Now we see her friends,
We don't wave our arms in the air, Carol.
I wouldn't know. Carol waves her arms like she just don't care.
Wave your hands but she in the care. Air if you's a true player.
She was manic. So we see this hot bitch. Her name is Mary Ellen Cooper. She looks like every single 900-year-old lady that's at your family reunion that you really don't know how you're related to her, but she's always there.
Like your grandma's sister.
Yeah, but she always has like really good gossip about everybody and will tell you things like, hey, do you know Susan over there has syphilis? And you say, oh my God, I didn't know that, Mary Ellen. But
gross,
thanks.
Mary.
Do you know that Bab has penile dysfunction? You say, well, I guessed, but I didn't know. So she has hot hair, hot glasses, hot earrings, and the hottest hot pink lipstick.
Yes.
And she's 1,000.
Yeah.
And
that looks like some Estee Lauder shit.
Yeah. Yep. She got it for free at Clinique or whatever.
Yeah, she did. Yep.
So she's really kind of telling us some secrets here because she wrote the book on this story. So she knows every detail, every gossip. So she's pretty good. So Carol, though, is not fulfilled because she doesn't have a husband. Even though she got divorced and realized his husband sucked fucking ass, she wants another husband. So
why, Carol?
She wanted a man in her life. And then Mary Ellen tells us that she really just kind of wanted a man in her life to like help her pay the bills. Figure it out.
You're an American woman.
You're an American woman. You can figure this out. I learned how to change the hot water heater thing blowing out the house. And I changed my own tire in the garage. And I learned how to do stuff.
I never did. I'm very helpless. And then I remarried a husband who's extremely helpless.
Our choices, again, are not good.
But you really did. I am proud of you.
Well,
you're
I'm
a real
stubborn,
American.
That's why
woman
and cheap,
and you're very cheap, as so, evidenced by.
Yeah,
can you hear this chair?
I apologize. Yeah. It's from 1969.
I apologize.
Literally, so Carol places an ad, and maybe somewhere you
in
shouldn't.
A Christian.
Yeah, in a.
A Christian want ad.
Now, did you look closely at some of the other ads?
I didn't.
When they showed it. I did. One wrote, likes thunderstorms was the title. So that's the catching title. So, I like thunderstorms too.
Oh.
And then you would look at it and it said DWF. So divorced white female, 51, 4'11". So puts her height. That's
she's a
80
tiny
pounds.
Thing. Oh.
And then it said she likes amusement parks, mini golf, bowling, pool, animals, and seeks a DWM 46 to 51 for LTP. What's LTP?
Long torture
porn? Light toilet paper? That was just one of the examples, and I was intrigued. I wanted to know more about this 4'11", 80-pound lifetime partner?
Partner?
Maybe. That's it. That was not Carol's ad. That was just another ad. Then there were other ads for True Nature Freak. Pass.
Hard pass.
I know. I married a hippie nature freak.
Yeah.
Auburn-haired sweetie. Possible, but I don't know.
No.
Outdoors woman. I feel like she likes to take dumps in a bucket.
That she likes other women. Was she looking? But that was the wrong. If you're a Christian.
Yeah, she can't be in there. God forbid.
Jeez. I mean.
So she was looking for a Christian male person, they said.
I shouldn't say that. If you're a Christian, I'm a Christian and I am all about the gays.
Well, everybody
there are a lot
should
of Christians
be.
Who are about the
well,
gays.
Then they can, yeah. And the ones who aren't can
but
go
in
fuck
the 90s,
themselves.
That's right. Yeah. They can go fuck themselves hard. But this, yeah.
It was hard then.
It was hard in the 90s, yeah.
So she wanted a Christian male person. So not Christian male lion or Christian male titmouse. She wanted a Christian male person who could take charge of the household finances. Figure it out.
That part you can figure out.
Good God.
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe then, you can't change your tire, fine. Right. But you can fucking look at your bank statement and figure your shit out and pay your bills.
In the meantime, we're seeing pictures of Carol and she clearly has pink eye. Did you see that one where she had very obvious
Something
pink
was
eye?
Wrong with that eye.
That's the only picture you can find is where she looks stoned and has pink eye.
It was a COVID eye before there was COVID.
And then the other eye is staring like Jeffrey Dahmer.
In the wrong direction.
So I'm
direction.
Like, this woman.
No.
Oh, man. And then we see her sister, Sandra, who seemed very sad still.
And horrible hair, Sandra. Well, sorry.
She doesn't have much choices. But then we see fucking Dennis. The one who answers her ad is Dennis Heller. And Dennis was born, and the doctor said, good God, this is a serial killer. Something's wrong with this fucking guy.
Congratulations, you've birthed a serial killer.
Yeah, like nobody who's seen.
And then they were like, I think we're going to name him Dennis.
Oh, okay. Horrible. So Dennis, the picture they show is he's a slack jaw.
Yeah.
He has a gash on his head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a huge one.
Like, what's the story with the gash on your head, Dennis? And then his pocket of his shirt is stuffed with 900 papers and bills and envelopes. Mm-hmm. What is going on? And this is the only picture you find? And they keep showing it 100 times.
I was just thinking today, we need to get our pictures taken.
Because I have no good pictures. I look like a Dennis Heller on his... you know, worst day is my best day.
And Dennis is a handyman. He's 51.
Well, he's something.
And he's a handyman. Yeah. And so she's thinking, this is great because he can help around the house and he'll take charge.
Right. And then like she can a good just man do, like, should. Cooking and, you know, whatever she likes to do. Go to church. So the two
put
start
eye drops
dating.
In her eyes. She loved that.
Carol's family, though, butts in, kind of, I feel, and make sure Dennis is aware of her past. Stay out of it, really.
But also her present. Like, you don't just get over mental illness.
Yeah.
So they, like, told him.
So they told her that she has a mental health past, but also she has a mental health now.
Yeah, she has a mental health present.
So they said within the year that they're dating and get married, her old demons resurface. Well, her old demons never left. It doesn't go away.
No.
So she would wander away from her house and then her family would have to go find her. And I feel like maybe that's not bipolar. That maybe is something else too. I don't know. But unless you're manic and you think you can just walk to Texas, sometimes that can happen.
Well, yeah, it was almost like she had
dementia. Confused. Yes, that's what it, it made me think more like that maybe was the case. Sometimes she would end up in the hospital emergency room because someone would just find her. And then sometimes they said she would end up in a mental health facility.
Right. They would try to do a hold on her.
And then Carol's dad asks her, Carol, have you ever thought of killing yourself? And Carol says, well, yes.
Yeah.
So that's when she finally gets on lithium. So that's usually what is prescribed for bipolar is lithium. And then you feel great on the lithium. And then a lot of times they stop taking it. And then it's like this
because
cycle.
You feel so good.
You feel so
right.
Good, you don't need it
that
anymore.
That happens with mental illness. All types of mental illness.
I'm not depressed anymore. And then you, I know it's so hard.
I will never stop taking my medication.
No, we can't.
Never.
We can't. It can't happen. Carol's sister said she had a lot of manic phases, which I feel is like the worst of this disease.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
Because you're completely out of control. But she had very little of the depression side. The manic side, which I've seen it, can be extremely... I mean, you think you're a millionaire.
Yes.
You'll go spend a ton of money and not realize it. Or you know, think you're just unbeatable and can do all this dangerous stuff sometimes. And it's just totally...
And it can also
come down and then you
it
crash.
Also can mask itself as being normal and happy, too. Like people, if you're not to those extremes of manic, like Kanye, right?
Right.
I'm going to run for president.
And he can go fuck himself.
Totally.
Hard.
But it can be like, she's fine. Right. Like whatever. But no.
So the medication caused her some drowsiness, slurred speech, nausea, which is common with the medication. Mm-hmm. Doctors, though, she was really not enjoying that. So they reduced her dose a bit, but she still felt that she had these symptoms just repeatedly. Mm-hmm. And so she wanted to get relief from these symptoms of just feeling sick all the time. Mm-hmm. So she went to actually several doctors. She went to doctors all over Oklahoma and no one would
even
really help
Denver.
Her.
She went to yes. Colorado too to try to get help.
And yeah. then it said doctors and nurses tended to just tune her out after a while. Mm-hmm. And here she had real symptoms mm-hmm. and really was asking for help and really wanted someone, you know, mm-hmm. I'd feel sick all the time. Can someone help me? And they just wouldn't. She would get sent home. And then a month later, she would get sick again and want to mm-hmm. go in. And her health problems, then she's kept telling her family, are causing the strain in her marriage, to where she told her sister, I think Dennis is getting disgusted with me. I've been yeah. sick the whole time we've been married. But honey, you know, that's not your fault. It and isn't
it
actually
really
your,
isn't
fault.
Your fault.
And Dennis can go eat dicks. So Carol was convinced
dicks.
It was the lithium making her sick. So she really didn't want to take the pills. And then she has to deal with.
So she stopped.
Yeah. So the consequences.
Fuck Carol. You
yeah.
do not stop taking
never.
Your psych
no,
you
medicines. Never.
You don't.
So against doctor's orders, she stops taking it.
Stop it.
Altogether, cold turkey. And that's always bad.
Dangerous.
No.
If I don't take my medicine for like one day. Now 2 days.
Yeah.
Like one time I forgot it when I went on vacation for a weekend, and the second day I was like
crazy.
Well, I felt sick. Like I felt nauseous, like I was going to barf.
Well,
I
then she's probably feeling
and
that.
And I'm not on lithium, like right? Yeah. I'm just on an hardcore. Anti-anxiety med.
So
good
one
Lord.
Sunday, a year after she's married, Carol was uncharacteristically absent from church. So this bitch went to church nonstop. So her not
Carol.
Being at church is big.
Yeah.
Her husband.
But he still went.
Yeah, he goes, I guess.
Good job, Dennis.
Her husband told everyone her condition took a turn for the worse. But then later that night, an ambulance is called to their apartment. Carol was in a coma, and they actually had to airlift her to Oklahoma City. So her sister's, now we see Sandra again, mm-hmm. and she's very sad, reminding this. So her sister said an hour after that, she got the phone call that Carol died.
Mm-hmm. She
so
cried
it was really
when
Sunday.
She talked
she was
about
cried,
it.
Yeah. She never even regained consciousness. She was unconscious mm-hmm. in a coma. Everyone really just thought she died of natural causes because she'd been sick so long, really, that whole year, that maybe she had congestive heart failure, which is a bitch. And I mean, it's pretty bad, too. But this is where the Oklahoma City bombing comes in. It had happened yeah. 6 weeks earlier, and the medical examiners in Oklahoma City, where she died, were so overwhelmed, they still were trying to identify bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So they had no time for her, and she didn't have an autopsy. Her family and her dad, I guess it was her dad even, and her siblings knew she wanted to be cremated. So it wasn't just something Dennis was saying.
Right.
So she was cremated. She never even was embalmed because
they
the dad
just did
said,
it, and
well,
they were
yeah.
fine with it. Yeah.
News of Carol's death spread pretty quickly because her husband was also a pretty, they said, insensitive asshole. So this is the story of what Dennis was doing. So when the EMS crew comes, fucking Dennis is on the couch on the phone, God knows doing what. So they come in and are like, sir, where's your wife?
You called us.
Yeah, you called us, sir. What's the problem? He is ignoring them, talking on the phone, not even acknowledging that they're there. So the EMS, one of the actors was pretty cute, I noticed. He was
oh,
the one
really?
Carrying the big
oh.
bag. So you should look.
Okay, I'll
and he had bright re-watch. Purple gloves on. I thought, oh, weird. He wouldn't speak to them. Dennis wouldn't look at him. Dennis wouldn't say anything about Carol. So they had to go searching around the apartment until they found Carol in bed, totally out, unconscious. And
someone should have just given him a huge beat down. Like,
well,
what,
said, what
the hell
wrong,
with
you,
you
dumb
Dennis.
Asshole?
Yeah.
And then there was this weird incident at her funeral. And I feel her family should have been like, we're not going to be polite to you anymore, you fucker. But they just let this go. So Dennis was sitting 4 rows behind the family, not even in front of
You're
his wife's
to be
own.
Up front. Yeah.
You should maybe be up front. Of
You're
your
the first
funeral.
One. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. You no. are.
He was sleeping. He slept through the funeral. Like, what a hardcore dick. But why did someone go over and just say, excuse me?
Dennis?
Wake up or get out, you asshole. I mean, come on. They just looked at him like, oh, I think he's sleeping.
Goodness, maybe he didn't get some sleep last night.
So now we see Detective Farrell, who ends up being really curious because he hears about Dennis being a dick and thinks something doesn't seem
Which
right.
Which one is he? What did he look like?
He is not. He is looks he kind David of normal.
With, did he have blonde hair and he was had a part down the middle?
The one that had the weird name, Busby.
It's
the one that had short feathered.
Yeah.
But I think this one looked more normal.
Had a longer feather?
Yeah. Okay. So he went to Heller's funeral to find out more. And he heard all this bizarre shit from the building manager where they lived. So
they lived
building,
in an apartment. Yeah.
The building manager saw all this weird shit happen mm-hmm. before Carol died. Yes. So she's outside doing God knows what she does and sees huge ass flames, like dragon flames, coming from the shit grill outside of the apartment, and then realizes Dennis is just standing there burning some enormous fire.
Like,
in the
I
grill.
Thought he was making steaks, but then I looked closer.
And he was.
And it was a fucking bonfire of paper.
Yeah, he was burning all this paper, which is super weird, but whatever. You know, maybe he wants to not have garbage and burn it up, recycle. I don't know. But later that same night,
caring for the environment,
the building manager is out again doing God knows what, and Dennis is carrying a shit ton of boxes, box after box after box, and throwing it in the dumpster. So she tells the cops, and they go and look, and it's all of Carol's personal items. And this is before she's dead. And her family Bible.
The Bible.
So she was very religious. She wasn't going to toss
God's
her Bible.
Sake, she raised her hand to the Lord.
Yeah, and raised her hands.
In praise. And he chucked the family Bible.
In the dumpster.
Oh, my God.
So the
Dennis, you're a dick.
Yeah. So the cops think, very curious. So they go into the apartment, and here's where it gets just fucked. In the kitchen pantry, they find a container of antifreeze. So the detective says, I've never known anyone to keep antifreeze in their kitchen.
Like,
your garage.
Right on. Yeah.
Sure, but not your kitchen.
Right on.
Yeah. Most people don't have antifreeze in their kitchen.
No, they don't.
No, you shouldn't. If you do, you shouldn't.
Rice in my kitchen.
So Dennis told them to say... said it was Carol's idea to keep the antifreeze in the kitchen. As if Carol even knows what antifreeze is or what antifreeze does. Of course she doesn't. She didn't even know how to write her own checkbook out because she needed Dennis. She didn't know. So then he says, Carol drank a great big glass of that stuff in November. What?
He told her sisters that.
He said she drank half the bottle, half a gallon of antifreeze.
So I put it in the kitchen. Why? Wouldn't you fucking take it away if she was drinking it, you dumbass, Dennis?
If Phil told me that you drank half a gallon of antifreeze, I would call you up and I would say, why? Why are you doing this?
Well, I hope you would call 911, too, and be like, she needs to be put in a fucking mental health hold.
Why are you drinking?
She's drinking antifreeze.
A half a gallon? Why are you doing this?
How is she still alive? Please help her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She wouldn't be alive if she drank half a gallon.
But
Dennis Carol's
a fucking
sisters
liar.
Just say how weird it was for him to tell me that. Why didn't you call her and say, why are you drinking this, Carol? And then Carol would have said, I'm not drinking antifreeze.
Right.
And they would have found it out.
Who would do that?
But no, they didn't call her. They didn't care. I mean, if someone did tell me you're drinking a big glass of antifreeze, I would be curious to call you.
Delicious.
Yeah, it does look bright green, just like what's her name's drink from
oh
burnt
my God.
Couch.
From the burnt couch.
Bright
it's
green.
Just Midori, Dennis. It's not antifreeze.
So they realize that she had no ethylene glycol, the substance
which
that is antifreeze, in her system when she died, which I don't quite believe because I feel like they didn't even do anything and they didn't give two shits.
Nope.
But the investigators still pretty much suspected foul play and they just really wanted to prove it. And since she was cremated and no autopsy, they really kind of had to start from scratch. So David Farrell is first detective that's done all this work.
Right.
And then we're introduced to Busby.
Hot name.
Buzz Busby. And he had a geometric tie. I remember it was very geometric shaped tie.
Did he have a mustache too, or was that the
prosecutor. One had the round face, and the prosecutor had the mustache. He was a hardcore nerd.
He was like a nerd. Yeah. Yes, a stash nerd. Yep.
So the detectives decide they're going to full force look into Carol's suspicious death, and they pretty much believe she was murdered. They just got to prove it. So almost everyone they talk to, and they talk about Dennis, they say he's really a weird fucker.
Yeah.
And the things he said were totally inappropriate before and after Carol's death. So David and Buzz get Carol's medical records in its 4,000 pages. Mm-hmm. 4,000 pages.
Manila folder after manila folder after manila folder full of all the times she had gone to...
trying to get help. Yes,
saying, I don't feel good.
Now, this shocked me that these men would think this way, but they thought, let's organize it by month. Right. And they took out... Right. They went to a courtroom that was big and put all the chairs out and organized all of them by month.
Yes.
And they noticed...
one chair was January. Yeah, one chair was February. Yeah. Yep.
And they noticed 1 month had no papers. And so they said, what the hell happened in this month that she doesn't have any medical
files? She never went to the doctor. Yeah.
Well, that's when Dennis had been arrested and in jail for shoplifting. Why are you married to Dennis and your husband's in jail for shoplifting?
And his family, her family, I don't understand.
Why didn't they say, like, he's a fucking loser. He's in jail.
Carol?
He's shoplifting. What's wrong with you?
He stole a...
probably gum or something.
Score
probably
a big bar. Remember those?
Oh, with... yeah.
What are those? Like toffee?
Ooh. Oh, I don't like toffee, though.
Oh, I loved it those.
Sticks your teeth and yanks your teeth out.
Mm.
So
he was in jail that
and
whole
then
month.
She did not get sick.
So in March of 1995.
Bing, 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 bing.
Empty.
Yeah.
She was fine. Never went to the doctor.
And that was 3 months before her death. So they have to figure out now how he did it. So on top of Dennis being a fucker, a dumbass, sleeping during her funeral, con, in jail for shoplifting, hideously ugly, real dope, he also has a mistress. Of course, he has a girlfriend.
How, Dennis?
So we see Mark Gibson, our real nerdy, superpower nerd prosecutor. He has oval glasses and the hottest mustache, pretty hot mustache. And then he says this genius thing that says, my policy has always been I'll not file any charges on a case until I'm convinced beyond a reasonable doubt. Well, it should be, I guess.
Nerd stash.
Just a nerd. Yeah, like, stop boring me, nerd. So anyway, in her medical records was another clue. Shortly before her death, Carol was hospitalized 50 miles away.
In Ponca City.
Ponca City. And she Oklahoma. Had slurred speech. She had confusion. Her same standard symptoms that she thought was caused by her lithium. And here we see the hippie doctor.
Yeah. So
he's bald, but has the long hair.
Has
the
long
back.
Gray hair. Yeah.
Yeah, he's long gray hair. So he looks like a crazy scientist, kind of it's like a Doc frizzy. Brown from Back to the Future.
Yeah. Yeah.
But balder.
Yeah. Yeah.
He finally feels like he's figuring out what the hell's wrong
he
with her. She
the
had
case.
Super yep. high acid level, so metabolic acidosis. And so there's only a few things that cause that. And so he told Carol, I need to take more tests. Like, this is not normal. That bitch Carol, instead of staying and finally getting solved what's wrong with her, she goes home and says, nah, and leaves.
She was afraid Dennis would leave her. So she's like, I don't want to be here for a week and be away from my husband. I've been sick the whole time we've been together. And so
she should have stayed and found out what was wrong with her. Well, jeez. So Dr. Cassidy still took some blood and tried to run some tests. Because he did get some results. She had ethylene glycol in her system.
But she was dead when they finally got back.
By the time they got back, she had died. So if she would have stayed, she would have found out she'd been poisoned, and that was her problem all along. Oh, so just tragic. So she never really found out what happened. So the prosecutor says, so somehow we got to catch him and find out how he gradually was poisoning her, because obviously she's not gradually taking antifreeze and poisoning herself. Right. Nobody does that. If you're going to commit
suicide,
well,
John B. from S-Town.
Oh, well, he took cyanide straight up. He didn't in one sitting and died. He didn't poison himself slowly over a year.
True.
Who would do that?
But even the guy said, like, no one poisons themselves to try to kill them. Like that's slowly. Horrifying and so painful. Dumb.
And then they keep showing Carol's pink eye picture all the time. And with Carol Brady hair she had.
Yeah, she did.
Oh, and Dennis's picture. So investigators really had no way of knowing if Carol poisoned herself, which they feel would be stupid. She's not going to slowly poison herself over months, but they know Dennis did it. So here we see they go to a toxicologist that specializes in ethylene glycol poisoning, and his name is Alphonse Polkis.
Polkis.
Alphonse.
Yep.
And he noticed a discrepancy that her slurred speech, confusion, lack of coordination that they thought was caused by the lithium was actually this whole time her poisoning of the antifreeze. Right. So she's going to the doctor and they're just thinking, well, she's on lithium. Bitch is crazy. I'm just going to ignore her. But she had been poisoned this whole time and no one helped her at all.
And Dennis was getting away with it the whole time.
So it's in her system. She had about 6 milligrams, they said, when they got it in her blood. And you need a dose of 20 to be fatal right away. But she had had so much over time, it was just really killing her organs. What it does is it shuts down your kidneys and makes these little crystals that totally block your kidneys. And you get renal failure. Right. And it eats away at your stomach and your intestines. So I'm sure even if she had just that little bit, she'd been having way more than that for months. But again, they really don't have solid proof that he's the one doing it. So they find out that at least 13 different occasions, Dennis Heller would talk to people about all the knowledge he had on how to poison someone with antifreeze.
He's a freak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's where he told someone, did you know that 1 teaspoon of antifreeze taken every day for 10 days will kill you? That's really interesting, Dennis.
No, Dennis, thanks.
I didn't really want to know that, Dennis, but thanks a lot. So his mistress that he had the entire time he's married, and probably even before he was married.
Her name was Karen.
Karen and Carol.
What if he accidentally called them the wrong name?
So yeah, he probably did. Close. But I think Karen knew about Carol because Dennis took Carol's wedding rings to Karen and asked her to try them on because he was going to give them to her after Carol died. Once you say, hey, what?
No, thank you.
No, first of all, pass. I'm not going to wear your soon to be dead wife's rings.
Right.
And what do you mean soon to be dead wife? Your wife is alive now.
I'd like my own ring. Yeah. Thanks, Dennis.
And you're gross. Why am I with you? So Karen actually was super excited to talk to the police. I think she was freaked out by Dennis. Yeah. And she was ready to talk. So when she talks to the police, she says Dennis gets boners for girls wearing cheerleader outfits. What a gross pig. And Dennis actually buys a used cheap ass. Like 1960s.
Like my dining 70s, table. Yeah.
60s. Bright lemon yellow cheerleading outfit for Karen.
It's a one piece. And it's sleeveless. Yeah. And it has a dropped waist and like a pleated skirt.
Right.
And he buys it
the Brady's
for
would wear.
His 51-year-old girlfriend to wear.
So he could get all a hot boner. And bothered. Gross.
Please wear the secondhand cheerleading outfit.
With pit stains and period stains. No,
Karen, I know it's 1995 and this is from the 60s, but just put it on.
Yeah. Just put it on right now. So investigators.
And then they listen to Gangsta's Paradise and Fox.
Investigators tell Karen to put the outfit on and wear a wire and then have him take her out to dinner, which is a Sonic or something.
Yeah, they would do a drive-in. Like, let's go to the A&W. What the fuck, Dennis?
So this dumb bitch is wearing a cheerleader outfit in the car at an A&W with her
hot... She's probably so happy. Yeah. Like, thank God I don't have to get out of this car.
So the police are listening across the street because she's wired up. And Karen told Dennis if they were going to have any kind of life together, he better start being honest with her. So then Dennis is so horny that he tells her all this murder stuff. What a dumb asshole. He tells her that he was been putting the antifreeze in her food the whole time, yep, using an eyedropper. And then Forensic Files says, we will not tell you how.
I loved that part.
He did it.
They won't tell us because apparently... You can, like, obviously you can taste and smell antifreeze, and they were like, Forensic Files will not tell you how he disguised the taste and smell of the antifreeze.
They were very but he must responsible. Have
been devious fucker.
Just an idiot. So Dennis was arrested, and he really didn't seem like he gave two shits, they said. And did you see his weird jailhouse hot orange shirt that had the V-neck down to his balls?
He had no shirt underneath.
No.
Yeah, it was like he was John Travolta in Staying Alive.
Yeah, it was like a V all the way to
a thousand times less sexy.
Yeah, he looked like a corpse walking in. Like Mr. Burns and Skeletor together. Just awful. He was so sure the jury just wouldn't ever convict him that he was just kind of an arrogant shitbag. So Carol never had an autopsy, but smartly, you need an Emmy, took tissue samples. Yeah. So they test these tissue samples, which they could have done the whole time.
Jesus.
Why'd you do this part one? And they found all the little crystals that you get when you're poisoned with antifreeze. You get crystals in your kidneys. And she had all these in her body. So she clearly had been poisoned. And since Dennis already admitted it on tape, they shared all this stuff with Dennis. And they figured Dennis wanted her stuff, her money, to have a life with Karen and her JCPenney's life insurance. What is that?
It's sad.
Oh, my.
Was it like for...
I don't know.
$100?
Probably.
I'd like to buy these polyester pants and a life insurance policy, please.
Poor woman.
Can I put it on my JCP card?
Oh no, Carol, I'm so sorry. Sorry, Carol. I gotta pull it together. Oh, jeez. So once Dennis knew that they found out about the JCPenney life insurance, he pled guilty. He said, shit. I guess I'll never see that $100. So then he got sentenced, though, for manslaughter.
I know.
That is just a kick in the balls. My crotch. And then we see Carol's sister with
he
her.
He did get life in prison, though.
Yeah.
Even
I mean,
though
he got the full handed to him. Yeah. Thank God. Then we see Carol's sister's husband, who is 19 feet tall, wearing big overalls. He looks like a giant. Oh, and then poor Carol's sister started crying, but was so grateful to the cops because they did a really good job. This was such
and
a complicated
case. She was happy
case.
For that one doctor who figured out she was being poisoned.
Doc Brown.
Right,
who
before.
Figured out.
Before.
He said, Marty, I figured it out.
It's antifreeze.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
But poor Carol's long
poor
gone.
Poor Carol didn't really get the help she needed. When
in
she wanted.
So
I mean, that's
ways.
Really sad.
Yeah.
So, Dennis, stop being a dick. If you have a girlfriend and you still have no belongings, your wife has no belongings, you can get divorced. And what are you going to lose? Nothing?
And
just pay for a divorce.
JCPenney's life policy is not worth it.
No, it's not worth it. God damn it,
just
Dennis.
Just pay for the divorce, yes. Dennis.
God, you already have a girl right there waiting.
She's wearing a secondhand cheerleading.
Yeah, your boner can go take off.
For you.
Oh, man. Don't kill your spouse.
No.
Not worth it.
No.
Anyway, thank you for joining us.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope that you can connect with us some way. Facebook,
yes.
Whatever. We love
Is
to hear from you.
Anyone playing bingo?
Yeah. Print out some bingo cards.
Yes.
And see if you can get one and then show us. We might have a prize
for
you.
We might. We have so many prizes.
Yeah.
And
we haven't seen anyone playing bingo.
Play it. And show
we're
us.
Dumbasses. It's easy to win.
Yeah, we're super dumb.
Yeah.
Anyway, we love you and we'll see you next time. Until next time.
That's right.
Bye-bye. Bye.